This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Poet Deborah Gorlin has a way of seeing ordinary things in new ways. A baby chick is an avian dandelion, an insect more a mobile jewelry than a life form, the heart muscle like the plush velvet of stage curtains. Poems in her new collection, Life of the Garment, take us on the road into family life and far out of the usual humdrum way of seeing the world. She joins me now to talk about Life of the Garment. Welcome.
Hi, Peter.
I want to add one more brilliant description to that list I just made. Cars, you write, are metal wigs on wheels. That's just incredible, an incredible way of describing it.
Thank you.
Could you read the poem in which that description occurs?
Sure, I'd love to. The Sorrow of Cars. Cars sorrow too, their glittering surfaces, metal wigs on wheels, just shams. Like puppets, they need us to animate them, steer their wheels, accelerate, brake, turn. Dependent on a tiny key, homunculus, the god that blossoms them. Obediently, their motors run, follow our every cue, witless without us. Poor brooders, parked insomniacs, alone in their garages, cattle in lots. Chronic movement or stasis means a bipolar soullessness. Dopes they desire impossibly, vehicles that yearn to be tenors, pant for their own expressways. They dream of teapots and fireplaces centered in their engines, a mobile Jerusalem, where their tires caress the road, where a pristine soul, despite the grease, could live in their machine. Headlights for eyes, and no longer disconsolate, they at last can stop. Their performance, their fiery march, up, down, becoming stilled wind when they want, or free transport.
You dedicate quite a few poems in this book to cars.
I sure do.
Why is that?
Well, growing up in New Jersey in the mid-50s, early 60s, I was surrounded by cars. We lived in a tiny little enclave industrial suburb just outside of Newark, surrounded by factories and hemmed in on all sides by Route 22, the Garden State Parkway, the New Jersey Turnpike to the west of us. So there was the physical fact of cars and transport that were part of my backdrop and my background. And the other important fact was that my father was a car dealer, and he sold Chryslers in Plymouths and Cadillacs, and cars were very much a part of our livelihood.
Right, and you write that he would come home every other day or every week with a brand new shiny car, and everybody in the neighborhood thought you're so wealthy because of all these fancy cars in your driveway.
That's right. And I have this memory of him driving a midnight blue Cadillac convertible with red leather seats and a red hood down the block. And it was as if he were the Pope or he were some royalty, because cars were status symbols and they were more than just machines. They were ways to convey wealth and prosperity and joy and happiness. The American car, synonymous with the American dream in many ways.
In addition to cars and family life, you also write beautifully about loss here in this book. And there were a few images that stayed with me. One was the image in the poem where you describe both human and dog staring at the door that, you know,
yes,
the people you miss would never come through again.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one poem, I have to say, really hit me. That was the poem Long Gone on page 37. Could you read that one?
I sure could. Long gone. Now and then my parents crop up and I see them around the neighborhood. A nameless older couple. Pleasant sorts who either take occasional walks arm in arm or stay close to their house. The woman kneeling as she gardens in her front yard, the man mowing the lawn, tinkering in the garage, and I acknowledge them, nod my head, wave.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, maybe a lot of people would have that kind of response after someone died. I mean, full disclosure, mm-hmm, after my mother died,
mm-hmm,
you know, I thought I saw her in a bus driving right by. And it just stopped me in my tracks. And then I had to think, no, mm-hmm, it's definitely not my mother. But you seem to have captured that feeling just so perfectly in just a
That's
few lines.
Right. That's right. And what I say, and I don't mean to be facetious about this, but when people die, especially your parents, yes, they may be materially dead, but they still live in you. You still can have a relationship with them. I feel like my relationship with my parents in the last 20 years, and they've been dead for much longer, has really improved remarkably. Mm-hmm. And you see them in your, if you have children, you see them embodied in your children in ways, you see them in other people.
So it still happens.
So it still happens. Life or their lives are still part of the animate world.
The voice you take on in these poems is, it's higher than everyday speech, right? It's poetic language.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also got a casualness to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, as if, you know, it's, I've heard the Vermont poet David Budbill talk about poems just dribbling off his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an element of that here in your work. Is that something that you consciously strive for?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to find the music in everything and whatever the words may be. And that can be challenging when you want to incorporate certain information that may not be as lyric or as poetic in terms of content, or and also just in terms of the sonic value of the words themselves. So, yeah, that's what makes me a poet. And in fact, sometimes that's what starts a poem. You know, it's a word or a sound that I have to follow out to its eventual surprising conclusion.
Deborah Gorlin, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. What a great interview.
That's Deborah Gorlin. Her new collection of poetry is called Life of the Garment. And for a list of the top 5 books on Deborah's bookshelf, visit our website, nhpr.org. And we've been hearing from you about what's on your bookshelf. Chelsea Philpott from Portsmouth wrote to recommend 3 new YA novels for summer reading, The Alex Crow by Andrew Smith, The Ghosts of Heaven by Marcus Sedgwick, and There Will Be Lies by Nick Lake. She says, these titles are very different in substance and style, but they share 3 important qualities: gorgeous writing, provocative plot lines, and convincingly complex lead characters. Wow. And we're always happy to hear from you about what books made you say wow. Send us an email. Our address is books@nhpr.org. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.